back to another episode of Sneakcast Industry Update, the series that keeps you updated with our ever-changing industry. For those of you that have been watching the series for a while now, you know how this goes, but for those of you that are new, welcome. We'll be covering the latest in manufacturing, packaging, coding, sustainability, and much more. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from increasing biofuel availability, to food waste costing the economy, to lab-grown meats future dawning, to soda becoming much more interesting. You might have remembered us talking about the USDA pumping money into the agriculture industry. On this segment, we'll be focusing on their latest investment in biofuels. The U.S. Agriculture Secretary announced that the USDA plans to invest $500 million from the Inflation Reduction Act to increase the availability of domestic biofuels. Thanks to this investment, Americans will have access to cleaner fuel options. Vilsack goes on to say, "By expanding the availability of homegrown biofuels, we are strengthening our energy independence, creating new market opportunities and revenue streams for American producers, and bringing good-paying jobs and other economic benefits to rural and farm communities." Back in December of 2022, the USDA made $50 million available in Inflation Reduction Act funding to expand the use and availability of higher blend biofuels through the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program, also known as HBIIP. The first of the 59 infrastructure projects will receive a total of $25 million. In addition, the USDA announced that in July, the department will begin accepting applications for the $450 million in grants through the HBIIP program. The purpose of these grants is to support the infrastructure needed to lower out-of-pocket costs for transportation, fueling, and distribution facilities. The funds will help cover pumps, dispensers, and storage tanks. So, who has received funding so far, and what have the funds been used for? In Iowa, Kim's Enterprises LLC will use a $510,500 grant to replace 4 E15 dispensers and 4 ethanol storage tanks at 3 fueling stations. Thanks to this investment, the annual sale of ethanol is expected to increase by 635,000 gallons. In Minnesota, Farmers Cooperative Oil Company is planning on using a $623,500 grant to replace 9 E85 dispensers, 2 B20 dispensers, 2 ethanol storage tanks, and 2 biodiesel storage tanks. Thanks to this investment, the annual sale of biofuels is expected to increase by nearly 122,000 gallons. We're sure that in the upcoming weeks, even more awards will be announced. For now, though, kudos to EPA for finalizing their highest ever biofuel production target in history in categories like cellulosic biofuel, biomass-based diesel, advanced biofuel, and non-cellulosic advanced biofuel. While some of us are fond of leftovers, it would seem that that's not the case for a large majority of the population, seeing as though it's estimated that 1.3 billion metric tons of food are lost or wasted annually, which ultimately translates to a loss of $1 trillion per year. If changes aren't made soon, this problem is expected to grow to 2.1 billion metric tons, or roughly $1.5 trillion in food waste by 2030. If you think that these numbers are outrageous, then you might be shocked to know that they do not take into account the hidden cost of food production, labor storage, salvage, or the costs associated with customer dissatisfaction, lost opportunities, and inventory or stocking level precision. Shockingly, one-third of all food produced for our consumption is lost to wastage, which equates to not only financial loss, but also environmental and social damage. So, what sectors have the highest levels of waste? Approximately 45% of fruits and vegetables are wasted, 45% of roots or tubers are wasted, 35% of fish and seafood are wasted, and 20% of meat is wasted. While there are a lot of variables impacting food wastage, approximately 7 to 15% of wastage happens during transportation. In fact, 10,000 shipping containers go missing every year, which only contributes to the situation. Another common problem relates to the temperature control or refrigeration issues during transportation. This affects the integrity of the food, making it unacceptable for human consumption. In the US alone, one half of all fresh produce is lost due to suboptimal shipping conditions. You can understand why monitoring the temperature inside of the refrigerated container is critical when perishable goods are being shipped. So, what is it that affects shipping goods the most? Fluctuating regional temperatures, how full the transporter is, or even opening the container while in transit can lead to deterioration of food. C-Cube, a leading refrigerated equipment lessor, is investing in the top-of-the-line telematic technology solutions that will provide enhanced visibility to show where the container is, how it's performing, as well as what's happening inside the container. C-Cube isn't the only one turning toward telematics technology, and we can see why. With greater collaboration, increased transparency, and real-time information on the exact location and temperature of the container, producers and transporters alike can ship with peace of mind. While some food waste is inevitable, some companies like CQ believe that it's their responsibility to utilize available technology to reduce waste and ensure perishables make it to their destinations intact.
If you've ever seen a sci-fi film and seen the food grown in lab scenes and thought, man, I'd love to try that, well, guess what? The possibility might be closer than you think, especially now that US regulators have approved the sale of lab-grown chicken meat made from cultivated cells. However, this isn't anything new, seeing as though we've touched on the subject before here on the show, not to mention that scientists have been cultivating animal cells in artificial environments since the 1950s, although their purpose was to study developmental biology and cancer. What is new, though, is how scientists are using the cell growth technique to produce consumable proteins. Before we dive into lab meat, however, you have to understand cell cultures. So, what are they? Cell cultures are typically grown using either natural or artificial growth media. Natural growth media is comprised of naturally derived biological fluids. Artificial growth media is comprised of both organic and inorganic nutrients and compounds. Both types of cell media contain the necessary ingredients to foster the growth and development of cells. They both contain vitamins, carbohydrates, amino acids, and other molecules that provide the fuel for cells to grow and multiply. Researchers use cells grown using tissue culture to answer a variety of experimental questions. For instance, researchers can add viruses, bacteria, fungi, hormones, vitamins, and other pathogens to cells grown in these cultures to observe how different factors affect the cell's behavior or function. Now, the question that we've all been waiting for is, how is lab-grown meat made? Three major steps help to produce lab-grown meat. The first step involves removing a small number of cells. The second step is culturing the cells, and the last step is known as scaffolding. Let's take a little deep dive, shall we? The cells that are typically removed are muscle or stem cells. They're removed from an animal during a harmless and painless procedure. Stem cells are especially useful because they are not specialized and can be manipulated in the lab to turn into the many different types of cells of that organism. Culturing cells is when cells are placed in an artificial environment that favors their growth. Since a large amount of cells are needed to produce meat, cells are incubated in a bioreactor. A bioreactor is a steel tank that provides controlled temperature, humidity, pressure, and sterile conditions, all of which becomes the ideal medium to facilitate growth. The growth media are changed a number of times to encourage the cells to differentiate and multiply into the three major components of meat: muscle, fat, and connective tissue. When it comes to scaffolding, the cells are organized and packed tightly together to create the desired size, shape, and cut of the meat for consumption. Now that we have a better understanding of how labs grow meat, it's time to look at some of the pros and cons that have individuals torn on this revolutionary protein. So, some of the pros include relatively less greenhouse gas is produced than conventional livestock production in certain conditions. Lab-grown meat may improve animal welfare and be less likely to carry disease or cause foodborne illness. Prices for lab-grown meat have fallen in just a decade. Some of the cons include lab-grown meat can be costly. It will cost approximately $17 to $23 per pound to produce, and this is not including retailer markups. Compare this to conventionally grown ground beef, which typically costs a little under $5 per pound. A 2021 McKinsey report estimates that it will take approximately 220 million to 440 million liters of bioreactors to meet even 1% of the current protein market share. However, this is an issue because current bioreactors top out at 200 million liters. There's also a concern about the biological limitations of growing large numbers of various cell types in the same bioreactor. Consumers perceive lab-grown meat to be unnatural or have concerns about its taste. So, what do you say? Will you give lab-grown meat a chance? And what's a cookout, barbecue, or carne asada, even if it is with lab-grown meat, without a couple of cold ones in hand? Although, in this case, we're not talking about beers, we're talking about sodas. And just in time, seeing as though things are only starting to heat up. Well, it would seem that Indeed Brewing's new partnership with Colorado-based cannabis company Keith Brands has come just in time as they've announced their latest creation. This Minnesota-based brewery was amongst the first to release a line of THC-infused edibles, and now they're brewing cannabis-infused Keef sodas. Each soda will contain 10 milligrams of THC. Some of the classic twists include Purple Passion, Orange Kush, Blue Raz, Bubba Kush Root Beer, and Original Cola. The sodas are now available at Indeed Brewing Company Taproom in Northeast Minneapolis and in select retail stores across Minnesota. Based in Boulder, Colorado, Keef Brands has been in the cannabis beverage space since 2010, and since then, it's grown its presence in 13 legal cannabis markets across North America. With Minnesota's legislation allowing cannabis beverages to be sold outside of traditional dispensaries, the move could allow Minnesota to become the first state to allow THC beverage sales at stadiums and concert venues. So, if you're in Minnesota or another weed-friendly state, concerts, sporting events, and other gathering-like occasions are about to get a whole lot more interesting.
Like always, stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content.
Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our Word Coding Everywhere tour, and also let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys.